So this is week two of our series this summer on the spiritual disciplines. And so we're using God's Word and using the book Celebration of Discipline by Richard J. Foster as we look at some ancient Christian practices that are important to our life today. And so many times over the years in churches, there's always conflict over, do we do the new thing, do we do the old thing? Because the new thing is flashy and cool and is fun. The old thing is boring. But so many times we realize that actually the old thing isn't boring. The old thing is actually something that is life-giving. It is something that's important to our life, and there's a reason that generations have done these things for years. And so spiritual disciplines are part of the thing that it's not new or flashy, but it's really an important part of our life as followers of Jesus Christ. As we grow in our faith, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and grow in our relationship with each other. And so we're talking throughout the summer over the spiritual disciplines, over what they are, how they apply to our life, and how we can start practicing those today. So this morning, we are going to be talking about meditation. And so if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. And we will, as you're turning there, I'm going to start praying for us this morning. God, we are grateful for you. We're grateful for your presence in our life, grateful for who you are and how you show up in our lives each and every day. So, Father God, as I share this morning, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. And may our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you hear the term meditation, you may think of a picture like this that's up on the screen, or you may think of the next one, or that the next one. So many times people hear meditation, they're thinking, okay, you're getting in some weird, like Eastern, like New Agey type stuff, aren't you? Like this is not that type of church. This is not that type of church, by the way, in case you were wondering. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about meditation. See, meditation isn't some type of New Age practice that requires you to be in very uncomfortable positions for hours. If I were to sit like that for more than about 5 minutes, I'm not sure I could get up very well. My knees would be hurting, my back would be hurting. Like, that does not look comfortable to me. But see, meditation for us is listening to God's words and reflecting on God's words. We see meditation all throughout the Bible in both the Old and New Testament. See, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1, or you can see it up there on the screen. You may have to click on the slide that has the background first, and then go to the scripture slide. There we go. And then click on your scripture slide. There we go. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And hear this, church, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So God is talking to Joshua there and tells him this book of the law shall be the thing that you're meditating on. Now, if you didn't grow up in the church, you may be wondering, what book of the law is he talking about? And that is a very valid question. So the book of the law, or the scriptures that Moses wrote from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are the books of the law that's being referred to. And so those are telling the people of Israel, the children of Israel, how they are to live their lives. They're telling them what things they need to do to be faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to the promises that God has made. And so it's great with those books of the Bible. They're not only promises that God has made and seeing how God has been faithful in their lives, but there are also some laws, some commandments, and things that they are required to do as being a faithful people. And so when God tells Joshua to meditate on this book of the law day and night, he is asking Joshua to look and open up his word, the words that God has spoken to them, the words that God has spoken and will speak. That should be the thing that he is spending his time on, is focusing in on God's word. See, us today, we have a little bit more than what Joshua had. We have 66 books of the Bible that we get to meditate on day and night. And so we've got the full gospel of Jesus Christ that we can meditate on day and night, to show God's faithfulness to his people's faithfulness to the children of Israel, his faithfulness to the believers in Jesus Christ, showing the prophecies that foretold of Jesus Christ coming to redeem the world, and that those prophecies did come forth, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that was foretold. We get the full story that we get to meditate on. I'm going to challenge you this morning, and maybe we'll do this as a church together in 2027, read through the entire Bible. Now, I'm going to preface this way. You may say, you are nuts. You just told me there's 66 books in here, and you want me to read through this. And if you try to read through the Bible, and you got to Numbers, and you questioned why you were doing this, because Numbers is the genealogy and talks about such and such, begat such and such, begat such and such, begat the other person. You're like, I don't want to do that. There's some great reading plans. YouVersion has some great reading through the Bible in a year plans that you can utilize. We'll work on something for 2027 for us as a church to do it together. But just start. If you're wondering, I don't want to start in the Old Testament, start in Matthew. Read one chapter a day. If you got a lot of time, read two chapters a day. If you get really ambitious, read two chapters in the New Testament and read one chapter in the Old Testament. But spend time in God's Word every day. Spend time reading God's Word every day. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes and will not forget your word. And then jumping down to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from evil every way, from every evil way, in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. See, the psalmist is understanding what it means to spend time in God's word. To not rush through it because I got to get through this and I got to read this and I got to get on with my day. But to spend time in God's word and allowing God's word to speak to you. See, we believe that God's word is living and active. The Bible says God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the psalmist understood the importance of spending time in God's word, that God's word gives life, that God's word brings life. Understood that without God's word, we would be lost. Look around our communities. How many people are seeking after something, trying to find something to fill the holes in their lives, to fill the gaps in their lives, and they're lost? And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have the truth with us. We have God's word. We have the truth, the thing that the world is seeking after. We have it right here. So you may be asking this morning still, what is Christian meditation? And can you just throw the word Christian on meditation and make it Christian? I can be a bit of a cynic at times, and so I try to ask the positive questions and the negative questions. Christian meditation, I would say, is something that's been around for a long time and really is coming from our Jewish faith that we read in the Old Testament. So Christian meditation is the ability to hear God's voice and catch this and obey His words. So many times we hear God's voice, but we're not willing to obey His words because we don't like what God tells us. Because He may tell us something that is hard. He may tell us something that's scary. He may tell us something that we're like, I don't want to do it. It's uncomfortable for me. But it's hearing God's words and obeying His words. See, we hear God's voice when we spend time in the Word. When we spend time reading the Bible. When we hear God's voice when we spend time intentionally in prayer. We hear God's voice when we're willing to obey His commandments. See, Eastern meditation is an attempt to empty the mind. But in Christian meditation, it's an attempt to fill the mind. The Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are the things that we are filling our hearts with? It should be this. It should be God's word that we're filling our hearts with so that when we speak to people, even people we don't like, we have the overflow of God's word coming out that we can speak the truth in love. That we can be loving to people, but tell them that God loves them. God has a plan for their life. God has not forgotten them. God has not abandoned them. God is the one who created them. God is the one who has better things for them than they have for themselves. But we can only say those things if we know that they are true because we're reading God's word. That is what we are filling our minds with. Richard Foster talks about this phrase, a joyful life of perpetual communion. See, it's us living in God's presence and knowing that that was the goal for humanity. When we were created to live and be in God's presence, but sin entered the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, that entered the world and caused separation between God and humanity. And so being in God's presence wasn't easy. God walked in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, and then sin entered the world. And so that was no longer possible. And so all of creation has been trying to get back to be able to get into God's presence again. All of creation wants to be back in the presence of God, back to a place of perfection, back to a place that we can be holy, perfect, and free, that we can be restored. And see, God's Word talks about that, about us trying to be back in the presence of God. So you read in the Old Testament about the sacrifices they made. They didn't make sacrifices of animals just because they thought it was fun. They did it because they were trying to cover their sin. They knew that they were broken. They knew that they were sinful people, and they were trying to get back into the presence of a holy God. That is why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Jesus Christ, fully God, comes down to the earth to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to give his life as a ransom so that we could be reconciled back to God. So that we could be back in the very presence of God. Jesus Christ freely gave his life and died on the cross for us, but he didn't stay dead. Because 3 days later, he rose bodily from the grave. And so all of creation's been earning to get back into the presence of God, but Jesus, God, came to earth. That is what it took. That is what it took. And now we have the ability of being in God's presence because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Knowing that our sins can be forgiven forever and always. The work that Jesus Christ did on the cross is done once and for all. You can never do anything for God to love you anymore or for God to love you any less. I don't care what sin you've committed or the sin you think you've committed, God's blood covers all of our sins. Not just some, all of our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ has covered your sin, then you don't know the God that I serve. You don't know how big the God that I serve is. Because he can do all things. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So you may be asking this morning, why should we meditate? Like, why is it important that we meditate? We meditate because we're all seeking inner wholeness. We have to acknowledge that our life is incomplete without God. We spend time meditating on God's Word as we seek truth. We spend time meditating on God's Word as we seek freedom. We spend time meditating on God's Word as we seek love. We spend time meditating on God's Word as we seek life, true life that only comes through Jesus Christ. So we're going to spend some time this morning meditating on God's Word. There's a Christian meditation process called Lectio Divina that we're going to do together as a congregation, as a body of Christ this morning. And so I invite you during this time to spend time. You can close your eyes. You can focus on the cross. I'm going to move off to the side, out of the way. And I'm going to slowly read through God's Word two times through a passage of Scripture. I invite you to reflect on God's Word. Listen to God's Word. Allow God's Word to enter your heart. If there's something that comes to you that's important that you feel like God is sharing with you or telling you, write that down. There's pads in front of you and pencils. Write it down if there's something that God is speaking to you as I read God's Word. But we're going to put into practice what the body of Christ has been doing since ancient days. And meditating on God's Word, because there's so many other things we can meditate on. But what better than the Word of God that gives truth and life? And after we are done with that, I will close us in a word of prayer. And it won't be on the screen. I did that on purpose. I'm reading from the book of Psalms. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Father God, each and every day we have to make choices of what we do, the things we read, the things that we look at, the things we listen to. Father God, let us choose to meditate on your word first, daily, before we do anything else. Let that be what we fill our hearts with. Let that be what we fill our souls with. The truth of your word. Knowing that the things that we are seeking after can be found in your word. So, Father, help us, be with us as we spend time before you, surrendering our lives to you, surrendering our wills to you, and placing our trust fully in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are note takers, that was Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 through 8, that I read through.